bow our heads in prayer.
Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for being here, coming down with a shout in this hour, which to us, Lord, is our way out. You, Father, have come with a message, and the message you ordained through the DNA of your prophet. Hallelujah. No one could have taken the place. No one could have been Malachi 4 except that prophet we know. And no one could be your bride, who is called to be conformed to your image, who is called to be manifested as your sons and daughters, and who is called to be adopted in this hour. No one could be that except for the ones that you wrote about in your scripture and you placed within their DNA so that you could anoint that, quicken that DNA, and bring it into manifestation. So, Father, we're so thankful for that. And we ask that you would be with us and help us, Lord, to just yield, let go, and to let God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight we're going to pick up where we left off Sunday evening in this three-part mini-series showing the attributes of God expressed within our study of Brother Branham's sermon, The Unveiling of God. And we began by reading Sunday morning from paragraph 45 of The Unveiling of God, where Brother Branham said, this was a part of his way. This is the way he manifests himself to us, manifests the eternal word. God, Jehovah, made flesh, like in St. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, and the beginning was Elohim, and Elohim became the Word, and the Word was Elohim. And the Word was made Elohim. Now, just go stop for just a second. How did Elohim become the Word? Now, think about it. What do you have to have before you have a word? A thought. All right? Then that thought, when it became expressed, see, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So when God spoke it, he became the Word. In the beginning was Elohim, Elohim became the Word, and the Word was Elohim, and the Word was made Elohim. See, it's the same thing. It's just unfolding like the attribute. See, it is in God. An attribute is your thought. God in the beginning, the eternal. He wasn't even God. He was the eternal. He wasn't even God. God's an object of worship or something, see? So he wasn't even that. He was Elohim, the eternal. But in him was thoughts. He wanted to become material, and what did he do? Then he spoke a word, and the word materialized. That's the whole picture from Genesis to Revelation. There's nothing wrong. It's Elohim materializing so that he can be touched and felt. And in the millennium, there's Elohim sitting on the throne, amen, that's right, with all of his subjects around him that he predestinated before the foundations of the world. Now, back in 79, I had a long discussion with Brother Vail, and we're talking about predestination. And, you know, some people believe that predestination is God pushes you through a tube and says, blessed he that overcometh. And some people believe that predestination is only by foreknowledge. In other words, God by foreknowledge knew the end from the beginning. But the word itself, predestined, doesn't just mean that. It plays on God's foreknowledge, because that's what Brother Branham said. Paul said all that he foreknew, he predestined. So there had to be a foreknowledge first, then predestined. But the word predestined means predetermined. It's like, you know, if you have seeds in your hand, and you know this one's a watermelon seed, there's, you know, this one is a sunflower seed. I mean, I know sunflower seeds. I ate quite a few of them growing up. Spit out the pits, right? The shells. But, okay, so sunflower seed and watermelon seed, I mean, watermelon seed is kind of a miniature of a sunflower, but it's not hard. It's kind of soft. And so, you know, there's a difference there. And, you know, someone like Steve that plants different things all the time would know different seeds better than, say, someone who doesn't. All right? But the thing is, in each seed, now Steve doesn't grab a bunch of watermelon seeds and decide, well, I'm going to grow some grapefruits. You know, I get these watermelon seeds. I think, hocus pocus, you're going to be wheat. No, he says, that's watermelon seeds. I'll put those where the watermelon seeds grow best, right? And I'm going to put this over here, this seed over here that doesn't need as much water, I'm going to put that over here in this part of the garden because the garden doesn't get as much water. Well, that's the same way God predestined us. And, you know, like Brother Ben Caleb, when I was sending funds over back in 2002, began sending in, he said, you know, brother, he said, just be careful how much you send and to who. Because, he said, the money can really do damage to the brothers over here. He said, you know, God makes some plants in the desert that take very little water. And if you give them too much water, it kills the plant. And so, you know, I really liked what he said. And I preached a message back, I don't remember if it was 80s or 90s, but it was a seed for every season. I think I preached it in here before, but anyway, you know, there's a, you know, every, there's a seed, you know, you have spring wheat, you have winter wheat, you know, you have a seed for a season. You couldn't plant one or the other. It might grow, but it doesn't have the, you know, it has attributes, characteristics that would help it to endure, say, a winter wheat is planted in winter, in the fall time, and it actually begins to germinate through that snow and everything else. So, other plants, you could do the same thing, it would just kill them, and you get nothing from them. So, what is it then about a seed? Well, a seed, you know, it's got all the DNA, in its DNA, it's got all the attributes and characteristics that ever will have, and they're right in that little seed. When that little sperm goes into the egg, it's got all the characteristics and attributes that it ever will have. You can't see it with your eyes. Take a magnifying or a microscope of many, many power to see that. And yet, within that, in a spiritual realm, it has all the attributes and characteristics that it ever will produce. So, if God, and talking with Brother Bill about this back in 79, if God predestined us and knew everything about us, then he knew what we would look like when we came forth in these bodies. And I was reading a quote just the other day where Brother Branham said, you know, the virgin birth is nothing of a miracle compared to our natural birth, because God had to make sure that your parents got together. They had to make sure your parents' parents got together all the way back. And that's really helped me a lot when I've come across people in this message who really love the Lord and everything else, and they were born out of wedlock. Because there's a difference between being born out of wedlock and someone who is born as a bastard born. Bastard born is, this man is married to this woman is married to this man, and this man has relations with this woman. They cross the boundary, and they produce a child. But someone born out of wedlock, now, I'm not going to blame that on God, of course, but I'm going to say, but God, by his predestined, by his foreknowledge, knew that that man would get together with that woman that would produce that child, and that child be brought forth. In fact, someone asked Brother Branham about an illegitimate child, and they were thinking an illegitimate child was someone who was just out of wedlock. And when Brother Bram asked the question, he said, I don't know how that could be elect, but then he said, but then again, he said, how could not, he said, how could the blood of Jesus Christ not cleanse that as well? So when we look at the grace of God, the mercy of God, and we look at these things and we say, okay, this person, they didn't get a good start. On the other hand, God knew exactly what they looked like. So it's in the DNA. It's in the DNA. Therefore, as we read last Sunday morning from the scientific studies, that the DNA is a code and it's a message. It is a message. And I believe that Brother Branham and his DNA code was to be the prophet of Malachi 4. I believe that yours and my, in our DNA, was to be able to hear, recognize, and act upon the Word of God. It's in us to do so. All right, so now tonight we're going to examine part 3. Where we see that Jesus Christ was so much in the image of the Father that he did not come to express Son, he came to declare the Father. Jesus himself said in John 1 and 18, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And the word declare means to express forth, to bring forth by expression. It was translated from the Greek word exegeomai. And we know the first part of that word, which is exe, or the root, which is ex, which means to depart from, to exit, or to bring forth. And then placing that before the root word genomai, which speaks of genetics, or the genes themselves, it tells us that to declare the Father was to express the attributes and characteristics which make up the Father. In other words, as Brother Bell said, that body was God's body, but he loaned it to his Son. Because that body was everything about the Father. It was the DNA of God in a materialistic form, in a material form. Therefore, we're looking at the statement Jesus made as being thus. God is spirit, therefore he is invisible, and no man has ever seen God at any time, but the only begotten, the uniquely begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He expressed the Father by manifesting and showing forth the Father's attributes and characteristics to the people. Nobody could have been the firstborn Son of God except Jesus. I'm sorry, nobody else could have taken his place. And nobody can take your place because your DNA expresses it. All right? Now, from things that are to be, he said, now, the only way that you can be a son of, or daughter of God is because you have to have eternal life. And there's only one form of eternal life, and that's God's life. That's why Brother Branham said, I don't believe hell is eternal. Because you would have to have eternal life to spend in hell, and there's only one form of eternal life, and that's God's life. See, hell was created for the devil and his angels. If it's created, it has a beginning. And it also has an end. Now, it might be from age to age. It might be aeonious to aeonia to aeonia. But that's not eternal. That's just from age to age. It could be a million, billion, trillion years. We don't know. But it's got to have an end. All right? And because there's only one form of eternal life, and that's God's life. Only one form of eternal life, that was God. Therefore, to be a son of God, you had to be in him always. The gene of your life, spiritual life tonight, was in God the Father before there was even a molecule. See? And you are nothing but the manifestation of the gene of life that was in God as a son of God. Now, you're expressed after his word has come into you to light up this age. You are expressing God's life in you because you are a son or daughter of God. Therefore, you get what I mean? See? You're not now made... You're setting a church tonight because your duty is to express God to this nation, to this people, to this neighborhood where you associate. Wherever you are, God knew that you would be here. Because you have to be one of his genes or his attributes. You had to be. If you've got eternal life, then it's always was eternal life. And God, therefore, was before the foundation of the world, he knew that you would be there. And when the word or the water, the washing of the water by the words fell upon you, see, when the Holy Spirit quits in you, like Romans 8 and 11, if the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same Spirit will quicken your mortal body, right? It was expressed in a being. Now, you have fellowship with your Father, God, just as you have fellowship with your earthly father. See, you are citizens of the King, not citizens, but you are children, sons and daughters of the living God, if it be that the eternal life dwells in you. All right, so what he's saying is that, look, before you could have fellowship with your father earthly, you had to be born in the flesh. Then as you're born in the flesh, there's a different type of fellowship that he had when you're just a little baby. But as you grow and mature and you begin to communicate, now you've got you're entering more and more into a fellowship with your earthly father. Well, the same thing spiritually. You had to be born again before you could have fellowship with God. From invisible union of the bride, said, now remember, you say, well, we believe this, but we don't believe that. Well, if you're married to Christ, Christ is the Word of God. In St. John, the first chapter said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was made flesh and dwelt among us. Christ was the living Word. He always was the Word. He's still the Word. He always will be the Word. He was the manifestation of the attributes of God. For he was the Son of God, and any son is the attributes of his Father. And just as you were in the genes of your father, in the body of your father, when he was a young boy, you were in him, yet he could not have fellowship with you because he didn't know you. But then through the bedding ground of a mother, you were brought forth into the earth and become in the image of your father. Then he could fellowship with you. And so were you sons of God and daughters of God before there even was a moon or star or molecule. You were sons and daughters of God. You are only the physical manifestation of the attributes that was in God at the beginning. For there is only one form of eternal life, and that was you before. You don't know nothing about it. Neither did you know when you were in the earthly father. But you're manifested in his image. In the image of God you were made. And you were manifested for the glory and the fellowship of God. And therefore, as sure as your genes had to be in your father before your natural birth, your spiritual genes had to be in God because you're an expression of the attributes of his thoughts before the foundations of the world. That's right. No way around it. That's right. I'm looking at something here that I think is just super amazing because, you know, every father that has a child looks forward to that child coming, looks forward to having fellowship with that child, looks forward to communication, conversation, and everything else. And God is no different. God made sure that you are who you are in your DNA so that he could have fellowship with you. Don't think, well, you know, I just don't fit in the circle. I just don't fit in this, or I don't fit in that. Listen, you're a child of the King. You're a child of the King. Get all that negative thinking out of your mind. You're a child of the King. Now, I'm sure that as any king may have, and he's had, like David, 500 kids in 1 year, you know, he's got a, it's going to be some time before he makes the rounds. But now with God, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you see, you have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. God is able to breach what your father in the flesh could not breach. He's able to communicate like your father could never communicate. Hallelujah. All right. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1, 3 to 5, who hath blessed us, that's past tense, with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath, past tense, chosen us. Where? When? In him, before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, or in his presence. Then in love, he has predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Notice, you were already in him. You already had eternal life, you just didn't know it. Otherwise, it wasn't eternal. But when the light struck the seed, everything the seed will ever express was already in that seed. Now listen, you have certain wheat that grows chest high. You have certain wheat now that they've hybrid that grows about waist high. There's something in there, in the DNA, in the code, that says only can go this high. No higher. Every one of you has certain things in your DNA that tells you your hair color, your eye color, your height, your weight, your susceptibility to gaining weight or not gaining weight, your susceptibility to, you know, your how much you can eat, how much you can't eat, your skin color, how the sun affects your skin. I mean, all those things, even your smells, the way you smell. And if you eat certain foods, the way you smell with those certain foods, some people don't smell that way with certain foods, other people do. All of that is pre-programmed into your DNA. And so is your ability to receive the Word of God. That's why not everybody can receive it. It wasn't for them. That's why Jesus spoke in parables. He said, I speak in parables because it's for you to know, but it's not for them to know. All right? And from his sermon, And Knoweth It Not, paragraph 55, Brother Branham says the following three statements in that paragraph. A voice is the word expressed. And then he quotes Jesus saying, my sheep hear my voice. And then part two, he says, and this is the voice of God in letter form, pointing to his Bible. And then he adds, point three, because this is, the Bible is, the entire revelation of Jesus Christ, Old and New Testament, put together, amen, there you are. Now, you have, 40-some books in the Bible? 44 books in the Bible? Huh? No, 66, yeah, 44 in the Old Testament and 20-some in the New Testament. All right. Old Testament, I'm just thinking Old Testament only. You had all of this scripture in the Old Testament that spoke of Jesus Christ. When he came, he fit exactly what was written about him. This, then, was the DNA code that was written concerning him. Right? And when he came, he fulfilled every jot and tittle. Well, there's DNA concerning you too. It says you were in him before the foundation of the world. Let's go back here. According as he has chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame in his presence. Then in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So right there it tells you that you were in him and now he's predestined you to adoption. So how are you going to not make it? It's in the DNA. So it's time that we quit feeling sorry for ourselves. It's time we hold our head up and say, I'm a child of the King. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know that I'm ordained to it. You see? Therefore, the purpose of the Son of God coming into the world was not to receive life For he was the Father, he was with the Father before the world was framed, but to receive a body that could express the Father in a visible form, that man might know God through an experiential knowing. Now, Hebrews 1 and 3 tells us, who being the brightness of his glory, God's glory, and the express image of his, God's person. And we know that same word person is the same word where Paul says in Hebrews 11, he said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So then faith is in a person, not in things. All right? Now, from his sermon, show us the Father, and it'll satisfy, Brother Branham says. Now, it's many times it's been said that no man can see God at any time. The Bible says so. But the only begotten of the Father has declared him. Philip here was very inquisitive. He's talking about John 14. Philip was very inquisitive and he wanted to see the Father. It says here, he said, I've been so long with you, Philip, and you don't know me. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. In other words, and I want you to notice that when Brother Branham uses the word in other words, he's going to explain how this can be that you can see the Father when you see him. You see the Father express himself through the Son. Him and the Father were one in the sense that his Father was dwelling in him, not him doing the works. He was the Son himself, the immortal, virgin-born Son of God. And then in him was dwelling the God, the Father, expressing himself to the world, his attitude towards the people. See? Well, that's how Christ and God were one. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And now we say, well, when you see me, you see the Father. And why do you say, show us the Father? Now let's go and look to John 14 and begin at verse 7 for ourselves. Okay, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll satisfy us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Believe me for the vindication. All right, so the invisible God was inside of a vessel, Jesus. But everything Jesus did and said, the works that he did, like in John 5 and 19, he said, the Son can do nothing of himself, but whatsoever he seeth the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. And as Brother Brown said, Jesus had to have visions to tell him what to do. All right, so when he saw what he did, when he saw his actions, you were actually seeing God. Because Jesus just stepped into the vision and performed what he had seen. All right, and now let's turn to John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Now, notice that's one of the attributes that's in your DNA, to know the true God. All right. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest to me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto men which thou gavest me out of this world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given to me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. So he says, everything I've got, they know came from thee. So then what were they seeing? Were they seeing the Son of God, or were they seeing God in the Son? Now, let's skip up to verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, as means the same way, so Jesus is saying, in the same way that you sent me into the world, I will send them into the world. All right. How did God send Jesus into the world? Well, first of all, he spoke it. He wrote it. And that DNA code was placed into the egg and sperm and came forth as a living, breathing expression of who he was. All right. As you sent me, so I'm going to send them. Same deal. We can't say, well, you know, he was predestined, but we're not. I hear people say that. And that's not true. That's not true. You take that out of Scripture, you take out your destiny. Brother Branham said in a sermon, time-tested faith, said Jesus was the body, the Son of God, but God dwelt in him, in Christ. Now, Jesus said himself, the Son can do nothing in himself, St. John 5:19, but what he sees the Father doing, that doeth the Son likewise. Now, did you ever read that? Then he didn't do nothing. till the Father showed him in a vision on what to do. Because he said, I can't do nothing till the Father shows me. All right? Now, you see, the Bible's infallible, and Jesus said the Scripture cannot be broken. Jesus said that. Now, and then if Jesus said, I can do nothing until the Father shows me first what to do, the Father worketh and I worketh hitherto. In other words, he acted out in drama what the Father showed him to do. Now, watch each case. Every time you find it the same way, unless that was the people's faith. Now we notice this. Then again, we find he said, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. Now, the Father hath sent him was with him and in him. The Father that sent him went in him, with him and in him. Well, the Jesus that sends us goes with us and in us. See? So Jesus shows us what to do. Okay? 18. And as thou hast sent me into the world, even so, or in the same way, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they all may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory, the doxa, the opinions, values, and judgments of God, which thou gavest me, I have given them. That, or in order that, they may be one, even as we are one. So how do we become one? The same way Jesus became one with the Father, and that's through his doxa. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may also behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So what is this? It's a love letter, right? What is your DNA? It's a love letter from God to you. Now, what I want to do by showing you these things and talking about these is to get this negativity out of your minds, this, oh, poor me, out of your minds. Everything about you in your DNA was written by God. And it was written in spirit before the foundations of the world, and it was brought into your, God had to make sure your parents met for you to have the same look as what God saw you to be. Then he had to make sure your parents' parents met, your parents' parents' parents met, all the way back to the garden. You are the expression exactly what God wanted. Hallelujah. John 12:27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. All right, for this cause. That was also written in the Psalms in different places. Right? Now, from Body Celestial, Body Terrestrial, Brother Branham says, this question and answer, he says, this is a dying spirit in a dying body, but now you can't be in two bodies at the same time. But there can be two natures in you at one time. Now, the nature of the Spirit of the Lord, when you're born again, you're not born of physical, like the baby was, but what's happened? The spiritual birth has come to you, and while the spiritual birth is growing into your heart of God, there is a physical or a celestial body growing to receive that Spirit. And when the life leaves this body, it goes to that body. Just as when the body is presented to the earth, the Spirit comes in. And when the Spirit goes out of the body, there is a body waiting. For we know that after this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. See, that's it. The spiritual body of the people, Brother Branham, dear Brother Branham, what is the difference when Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, and then when they had gone to the upper room to tarry? Well, it was a promise he gave them, breathed upon them his promise, said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. It was a promise. They went up to the upper room to wait for the promise to be fulfilled. The same thing is when we lay hands upon you to be healed, when you go on about your business waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. All right. Now we know the new birth speaks as Jesus said here, he that is born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, must be spirit, for every seed must bring forth after its kind its nature. Then if you have been born again by the Spirit of the living God, you will receive the very nature of the living God into your being. And then if your Father is holy, for he is called the Holy Spirit, then if you have received his seed life, his holy seed life, therefore his nature in your mortal being must then be holy and cannot help but to live holy. Now from question and answer, he said this is a dying spirit and a dying body. There can't be two bodies at one time, but there can't be two natures in you at one time. Now the nature of the Spirit of the Lord, when you're born again, you're not born a physical like the baby was. He says, but what's happened, the spiritual birth has come to you. And while the spiritual birth is growing into your heart of God, there is a physical or celestial body coming. Now, he said the same thing in a sermon. I'll get to that in a little bit. But he says, what you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. All right. Now, what distinguishes the Father from the Son is that the Son did not know all things. He said, no man knoweth the time or the season except the Father. All right. From question and answers in Hebrews, brother answered, now the oneness teaching of the oneness church, I certainly disagree with them, thinking that Jesus is one like your finger is one. He had to have a father, and if he didn't, how could he be his own father? And his father was a man like, and if his father was a man like the Trinitarian says, then he was born an illegitimate birth with two fathers. You can't have two fathers. You can have, you just can't do it. So you see, you're both wrong by arguing, see? But the truth of it is that both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is one personality. But God dwelling in the tabernacle of flesh who takes sin from the world, that's exactly right, God with us. See, that's why, look, if Jesus could only do what the Father showed him to do, then whose personality was he expressing? The Father's. But when he said, Father, my will is that you take this cup from me, whose personality was he expressing? His own. But when he said, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, what did he do? He surrendered himself to God, the person of God, the personality of God. All right. Now, it is I, be not afraid. He said, Father, we know that there's many people that will not read the Bible, but you have made your church written epistles, the word of God made manifest. And people can watch lives and see what the word of God is because the life of the Christian expresses the word. Then what type of a Christian should we be, Lord? Help us to be Bible Christians, and that the works and life of Jesus Christ may be known through us. In his name we ask it. Amen. And you may be seated. All right. Now, from preparation, he said, when God comes down and puts the Spirit into you, then you're no more your own, but you're God's. Like Paul said, if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal body, which by his Spirit dwelling in you. Okay. So from paragraph 233 of God's only provided place of worship, Brother Brown said, my action and the vindication of God's word in my life, my actions, all right, and the vindication of God's word in my life shows whether I'm a child of God or not. And the word to show means to reveal, to manifest, or to make evident one's character in a given situation. So I guess then, if we want to really have an assurance of our position in Christ, we need to look at how we react to his word. If we can't get enough of his word, no matter how hard it may seem at times, then we have assurance that we are his, because Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So then our hungering and thirsting is evidence that we shall be filled. Then if we are hungering and thirsting, we have assurance that God will fill us. And it is not for us to fill ourselves with his spirit, because Romans 15:13, Paul tells us, now the God of hope fill you. And Ephesians 1:23, he said, it is God that filleth all in all. So with this in mind, I would like to again examine the thought behind the statement, my action and the vindication of God's word in my life shows whether I'm a child of God or not. Now, what's that mean? What's the vindication of God's word in my life? Well, we knew that when we looked at the life of William Branham, we saw a man of the wilderness. We saw a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. Many of the same miracles that were performed by Elijah we see in his ministry, we can definitely say, okay, that's the vindication of God's word in his life. Right? All right. And he says, my action. Okay, the things that I do. And the vindication of God's word. In other words, the things that I do, if they match up with what this Bible says, that tells you whether I'm a child of God or not. Okay? It is not so much my actions that vindicate me, or that would be works. But he is very specific when he says, my actions plus, or and, the vindication of God's word in my life. That's what declares just who I am. Not my actions alone, that is contrary to the gospel of grace. Now, do you remember when we looked at the seed for a season? I think it's been maybe 6 months or so. And when he preached that sermon, we all saw how that the manifestation of the seed in the season is the evidence that the seed is indeed for the season. Now, there's the very fact that winter wheat grows, it actually begins to come alive with that winter blanket of snow over it. And then it comes forth in the springtime. That's the vindication of the life of a winter wheat. Okay, I don't know the scientific name, or I'd give it to you. But that's why I said Sunday that no other person could have fulfilled Malachi 4 except William Branham, because the message was in his genes and in his DNA to be Malachi 4 prophet. And no one can be the elect seed of God that is to be conformed to the very image of the firstborn son except those who God placed that DNA message in them to become what he ordained them to become. No one can be the manifested sons of God except those whom God placed in them the DNA message code to become and to manifest as sons. No one would be the adopted sons except for those who God placed in their DNA the message code to become the adopted sons. And it's got to be done in the right season. And this is the season for it. All right? And the evidence that the seed manifests God life is the same evidence that shows that the seed contains God life. Just like watermelon seed will manifest watermelon, God's seed will manifest God life. Son of God's seed will manifest Son of God. And it must be in its appointed season. From the spoken word's original seed, paragraph 89, Brother Branham said, the works that Jesus did, now think about that, if a man has the seed of God in him, with the Spirit of God watering that seed, the same works that Jesus, that was manifested in Jesus, him being the original seed of God, his death brings you back to the original seed of God. And if the same spirit that was within him is in you, then the same works will be manifested. Now, it can't get any plainer than that. You don't believe that? All right, let's just turn to St. John 14:12. You say, I'm a believer, Brother Branham. I sure am a believer. All right, I'm going to see if Jesus would call you one. See if the Word of God would call you one. Verily, verily, absolutely, absolutely, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, what is it? It's the same seed. You can't keep... Now, how can you plant wheat here and wheat over here and then say, I'm going to get cucumbers over here and wheat over here? You can't do it. If you plant the same seed here and the same seed here, it's going to be the same. Well, if Son of God's seed was in Jesus and Son of God's seed is in you, it's got to be the same. That's just common sense. That's why Brother Brown said, you know, sometimes he said we need our brains baptized. Not only our spirit baptized, but our brains baptized, because people just don't think. Well, it's only one man. No, it's not just one man. I'm sorry. Anybody that has the seed of God in them is going to do the works of God. He's got to do it. All right? The only way you're going to get cucumbers is plant cucumbers. And if you hybrid it, then it won't be a cucumber. It'll be a hypocrite. Is that right? It'll be a hypocrite, friends. You've got to say it. It isn't neither one. It isn't a cucumber or what you bred it with. It's a crossbreed. And it is a bad product, and it's dead in itself, and it can't breed itself back no more. It's dead right there, back, and won't go no further. That finishes it. That's all. But if you want a cucumber, start with a cucumber. And if you want a church, start with the Word of God. And if you want a life of God, start with the Word of God. Why? Jesus said, my words are spirit, and they're life. Accept the Word of God in its fullness, every measure of it. And then that, and if that is the fullness of God in you, then the rain that's falling will produce exactly what's in your garden. So if the Word of God is in your soul, if you're hungry and thirsting for righteousness, and the rain of God falls upon it, it can only produce what the Word of God is. Amen? Then the works will be manifested in him are the same. For it is the same seed, Word of God. God's Son was his example seed. And what his life was when the Spirit poured upon him after his baptism and the Holy Ghost come upon him, and the very life that he produced will, that same watering Spirit of the Holy Ghost will bring forth the same kind of life, doing the same things that he did, if it's the same seed. Son of God's seed will bring forth a Son of God seed. Then why do we wonder? Step into it. You're sons of God. You believe it. You believe that you've heard the shout, waiting for the voice of the resurrection. But we know that there's got to be some conformity to the image and all these things. Step into it, brother, sister. Don't say, wow, that was for him. This is for me. Hey, you know what? This is for me. Every jot, every tittle. So when we showed you Sunday morning that science has now come to the place where they can tell us that your DNA is not only musical and mathematical in nature, but that it is a message, and not like a message, but it is a message, and therefore what God declared in His written word for you to express, He has written in your DNA to ensure that you will express it. Philippians 2 and 13, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which began the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And one other scripture, He said, and if you be any otherwise minded, He'd reveal it to you. Okay? So that is half of the story. But every principle of God has two sides to it, twins. And the other side of this principle is that the seed of God, is that a seed that does not manifest shows no evidence of seed life. And that doesn't matter if it's wheat or watermelon or even God or God's seed. If it receives the same rain, which is the doctrine of God, and if it receives the same light, which is the illumination of the Word, and if it still does not manifest God's life, which is to do the will of the Father, then your non-activity is also evidence of a lifeless hull, or a dried-out shuck, or a seed that's not ordained to this life. Now, that may be hard to swallow, but that's the gospel truth, and I'm not here to pamper and scratch your itching ears. The gospel hurts sometimes, but if it don't hurt, it won't do you any good. And if there is a John 14:12 manifesting in your life, or if there isn't, then I will get to pray. Because Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. And then He asked, ask abundantly that your joy may be full. See, people are afraid to say, Lord, I want to manifest John 14:12. I want to be like your prophet was. I want to be like your son was. I want to be everything about him the same. I don't want to be different. I want to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same. I want your spirit because it's your spirit in me that changes not. It's your word in me that changes not. So I just want to yield to that word, yield to your spirit. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And you're not going to do something different for Brother Don than you will for Brother Steve. You're the same God. Therefore, when Elijah did a certain thing, Elisha said, oh, I'm going to do the same thing. And he did the same thing. And you know what? He got the same results. He took that same mantle that Elijah smacked down on the water and walked across. And he said, where is the God of Elijah? Boom. And you know what? He got the same results. Next time you have a need, where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of Elisha? Where is the God of Jesus? Where is the God of Paul? Where is the God of William Branham? I'm doing the same thing. I'm expecting the same results. Because God is not a man that he could change his mind. Nor the Son of Man that he could repent. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Ask abundantly that your joy might be full. Matthew 7 and 7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a seed is planted and it does not manifest, then we need to examine whether it is getting any water, which is the word, and if it's getting any light, which is revelation. And I would simply say this. Those that are struggling, I know why you're struggling, because you're not in the Word like you should be. That's the only reason. Church doors are open, you don't show up. And it's not just, God is not just here Mondays and or Wednesdays and Sundays. Every day, you should be listening to the Word of God, whether it's one of those audible Bibles or whether it's God's prophet. You should be listening to the Word of God. Father, what can you show me today that would change my life and change the life of others? Otherwise, you're just a church member, just going to church, and then in between you're struggling, you know, with your little attitudes and this and that. Sons of God are to manifest as sons of God, not just some wimpy little 21st century millennial. What's the other? Metrosexual, you know, just kind of a wimpy person. No.
You're either
a son of God and daughter of God, or you're not. Act like it. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Did he just lie there? No. So if you're not receiving, you're not asking. And he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a seed is planted and it does not manifest, then we need to examine whether it is getting any water, which is the word, and if it's getting any light, which is revelation. And if one of those factors is missing, it will not produce a manifestation of its seed life. So we have three things so far that are needed for seed to manifest life. Number one, a seed that has life. Number two, light to quicken that seed. And number three, water to help it grow. And now there are only one other thing that can prevent and hinder a seed from manifesting its seed life. And let's turn to the Word of God for our answer. Mark chapter 4, 13 to 20. Notice verse 19. The cares of this life chokes the word and it brings no fruit. There you go. Lord, sometimes I get answers. Sometimes I'm really, I'm in the spirit. Sometimes I listen to your tapes, and sometimes I knock and all these other things. But sometimes I don't. Well, what's hindering you? The cares of this life chokes the word. Well, what is the word? My words are what? Spirit and their life. The cares of this life chokes the spirit, chokes the life, because it chokes the word and it brings no fruit. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable, and how then shall ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these that are by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes in immediately and taketh away the word that was sown into their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for but a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this life, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enters in, it chokes the word, and it becomes what becomes? It becomes. What becomes? What is it? And the word becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Again, we see in Luke 8, verse 14 to 15, And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. I'm too tired. It's Wednesday night. I'm just too tired. All right. No fruit. No faith. No victory. But when they've heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring forth no fruit to perfection, but that on good ground are they which with an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. It is impossible to bear good fruit if you are so earthbound with the pleasures of this world, because John told us in 1 John 2, verse 15 to 17, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world will pass away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He that doeth, I made that in big print, he that doeth the word of God. Because if you do it, it's because you hearkened and heard. You can listen to tapes all day long, and it goes in one ear and out the other. If it doesn't change your actions, you're not hearing. Now, we know that everything there is a season. As we read in the book of Ecclesiastes, there is a time and a season for everything under the sun. But we are running out of seasons, brother, sister. We're in the harvest season. There's no more time. This is the last season. This is the end time. Don't put off tomorrow to get right with God, because there is no tomorrow, or maybe no tomorrow. Now, I think I've said enough about non-seed, non-manifestation of life in the seed. Therefore, let's just flip back again and look at the thought of what exactly this manifestation of seed life is and what it should do for you who have this manifestation in the season. In Psalm 1, verse 1 to 6, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It's like people want to just, well, I'll go talk to this brother. He left the church, and I'll just go talk to this brother and try to win him back to Jesus. And the person just goes further and further into fornication, adultery, and everything else. And it comes a time where you got to walk. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. They went out from among us because they're not of us. Oh, but that's hard. Listen, that's the word of God. How can two walk together lest they be agreed? Nor standeth in the way of sinners, that's the unbelievers, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, those people that always have something to pick at. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Well, what's the fruit for the season that we're in, brother, sister? Adoption. Manifestation as sons. Being conformed to the image of the firstborn son. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, but the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The Lord yada, the Lord actively watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That's abad, the Hebrew word abad. It means they're just left to themselves, just wandering. Like Brother Brown said, they just wonder about this, wonder about that. That's that wandering spirit. Now again, we see the contrast between seed and non-seed. But let's look at the seed whose leaves do not wither and whose fruit comes forth in the proper season. And it tells us that God watches over them with an active participation. Now remember, he who began the good work in you shall perform it. So God will make sure that you are producing timely fruit. And as I said earlier in this series, that God will bring us trials and testing to make sure we use our faith. So don't worry too much about what fruit you bear, because God will also give you the tests that you need in order to perfect that faith. He gave you the faith. He also gives you the means to use it and to bring it into maturity and completion. In Hebrews 10:22, we read, "Let us draw near with our true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promises." Notice, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. Well, how can you have a true heart in full assurance if you don't have a true understanding? Because the word heart means understanding. So what is a true heart in full assurance? Always remember, when the Bible uses the word heart, it is speaking of understanding. So this tells us, when our understanding is true, it will also bring much assurance. But the problem is that not too many people have a true understanding, and thus they have so many questions concerning what is true and what is not true. But we have a true word, which is a true understanding, and we don't need to be looking outside of the revealed word for more truth. There is none. How can you come to a full assurance when you pollute your mind with anything that has not been vindicated? Vindicated word brings full assurance. That is why Brother Branham is telling us here that the vindicated word will produce something in our lives that will take over, and that will be an evidence to us that we are indeed God's seed. He said, "My actions and the vindication of God's word in my life, it shows whether I'm a child of God or not." Now, not my actions alone, no, that would be works, as I mentioned before, but my action and is a conjunction that links the two thoughts together. My action is one thought, and the vindicated word in my life, reflecting in my life, manifesting in my life, is the other thought. So what he's saying here is a vindicated word in my life will produce an action in my life, and those two together will show that I have God's life in me. Because, let's face it, a seed that never comes forth, no matter how much you give it light and water, if it still does not manifest any life, then it is only a husk or a shuck. But when the seed manifests life, due to the vindicated word shining upon it, then that seed, by manifesting life, shows it has life. In other words, when your life begins to manifest what it wrote about you, look at Jesus said, "For this purpose have I come into this world." He had to make the choice. Am I going to do what the word says about me, or am I just going to lay around? Are you willing to see what God wants? To see which of the characters in the Bible, which of the attributes are yours? Then step into it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Because, Lord, your word is truth. And, Father, your word also is life and is also spirit. And so, Father, we just pray that the life and the spirit that is in the word might be manifested through us, might be opened up and reflect and expressed through these bodies where the DNA was written before our birth even took place. That DNA code which came through our parents and then our parents' parents all the way back before the foundations of the world, when you saw us the way that we should be and you saw that we were believers in the shout and that we were recipients not only of the shout but of the voice and of the trump, which is the change of the body. Help us, Father, to go all the way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us sing, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face to shine upon thee."
The Lord.